Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much at this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
If we had to give a short summary or even a tribute perhaps to the rich young man in that gospel reading we've just heard, I think it might go something like this. At least he was honest. Yet again, our gospel reading gives us a reflection on what it means to be a disciple, more specifically on the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Perhaps not so much a reflection, more a confrontation. One commentator about this passage says this: "Do you find that Jesus gets easier or harder to understand as the gospel goes on?" Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm a little bit with the disciples on this one. In our reading, we hear that the disciples are amazed at what Jesus tells them. But if you look at the original language of the New Testament, the Greek, the word is actually better translated: they were overwhelmed by what Jesus had told them. Overwhelmed at the idea that gaining access to the kingdom of God is apparently harder than squeezing a camel through the eye of a needle. Now, I have never tried or even contemplated how I might get a camel through the eye of a needle. Has anybody tried or contemplated this? Probably not, I guess. But I can imagine that trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle would A, not be a pretty sight, and B, it would actually be impossible. Scholars have tried to tackle the apparent absurdity of this puzzle of getting the camel through the eye of a needle by performing all sorts of gymnastics with the text. Jesus meant a narrow gate in Jerusalem, not the eye of a needle. Sure, it would be a tricky thing to get a camel through a narrow gate. That makes more sense. Or the camel must actually be a rope. It is equally tricky to get a rope through the eye of a needle. But I think this misses the point. And indeed, it misses the absurdity and the humour, dare I say, of the moment. Dare we chuckle at the gospel? Well, we should. It is indeed a feat of the imagination so grand to think that we could persuade a camel to navigate the slim space of a needle. A lady called Barbara Lundblad, who teaches people how to preach in a seminary in the United States, writes about the challenges for the preacher in tackling this particular passage. And she describes a scene of watching a man begging outside a New York delicatessen as busy people come in and out of the establishment, clutching takeaway coffees and paper bags containing gourmet sandwiches and tasty muffins, apparently oblivious to the man standing outside. And she wonders about all of this. And then she describes an imaginary tap on the shoulder. She turns round to see who it is who has tapped her on the shoulder. And she says, "There's Jesus, and he's got this camel." We can watch a situation from a distance, but at what point are we actually going to enable our faith to let us respond? Maybe you have had such camel moments too in your lives. I know I have. We see a situation, we stop and think about it, feel helpless, perhaps a little judgmental, and then we feel a tap on the shoulder. We turn around and there's Jesus holding a camel. Well, not literally holding a camel, but the camel's on the end of a rope. Jesus is holding the rope. And the camel looks decidedly like it's got the hump about something. That is a deliberate joke. Thank you. "Go on then," says Jesus. "What are you going to do?" Being a disciple is difficult, and it is costly, and it is uncomfortable too at times. But the important thing is that being a disciple is not meant to make us miserable. Hence the humour of the camel and the needle. And we have a hope that there is a reward, eternal life. Being a disciple is about seeing things in ways that can make us stop and think, ponder for a moment, and then in some way act, even if that action is small or insignificant. Everything you see matters. Nothing is wasted. One of the things that's interesting about this passage is the way it starts, because we're told that Jesus has started out on a journey, as Jesus started on his way. And to me, this indicates something about navigating the terrain of the journey that we find ourselves on. It's not necessarily about seeking a complete or a fulfilled life, which is what the young man wants in the parable. It's about the sense that whatever happens on our journey, we are being transformed as we become part of a larger, outward-looking purpose. We are to become different sorts of people. We are being challenged by Jesus to be transformed in the very essence of who we are. And it's this call to transformation that lies at the heart of being a disciple and lies at the heart of confirmation, which today Navjot, Manjot, and Miranda are receiving, that calling down of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, that in all that they seek to do in their journeys, they might show forth the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes in tiny ways, sometimes in ways that will really make a difference to people's lives and to the world around them. Now, that's a daunting thing, but it's also an exciting thing. And it is why Miranda, Navjot, and Manjot need our prayers, not just today, as I said at the beginning, but in the totality of their lives that lie ahead of them. And this journey of transformation starts with a call to follow, but God cannot do all of the work. We need to let our characters be formed, informed, and ultimately transformed into the likeness of Jesus, so that through our whole lives, others might catch that glimpse of God at work in us, and be curious enough, maybe, to ask why that is. Glimpses of eternity may be seen in the lives of each and every one of us. So do keep an eye out for Jesus and the camel in your daily lives. And if you do happen to feel a tap on the shoulder, and if you do happen to see Jesus with the camel, don't feel sad or bad or even slightly mad. Instead, smile if you can, and give thanks for those disciples that have gone before us, and be transformed in the hope that if we let it happen, God can take our lives, yes, even our lives, and use us to further the growth of his kingdom. So thanks be to God for Miranda, for Navjot and Manjot, and for their journeys to this point, and we pray for them in their journeys to come. Amen.